this country, you've got to make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get the power, then you get the woman.
This is Money Talks.
And we're back. I'm Bill Lako. Dollar bill to my friends. You know, market's up. Maybe I'm a dollar and a quarter.
It's always flat, according to you. Yeah. It means you don't earn much.
That's true.
That's his expectation. It doesn't always. That's
why I need to call Shauna, not Bill.
That's right. That's Shauna Theriault and Troy Harmon. You know, we're CFPs, CFAs, all that EIO stuff.
Sure.
You know. All righty.
Speaking of Shauna, we do have a story that we wanted to talk about, kind of a scenario, if you will. Shauna, I'm going to kick it to you, but basically when folks come across the sad instance of divorce, since you're working on these sorts of things, and I work on valuation, you and I probably could talk together about a divorce involving a small business.
Absolutely. Well, there's definitely challenges when you have a small business and a divorce with a husband and wife. It could be anything, you know, dentistry, medicine, law, real estate, or just a home-based business you have. It's very important to figure out to make sure that the division is equitable, to talk to somebody who is certified to evaluate it, such as a CVA as yourself.
Sure.
Just make sure that you're using a right appraisal and valuation. So there's generally three options in a divorce situation. You know, the one of the spouses could just continue owning the business. Both spouses could continue owning the business, or you could sell the business and divide the proceeds.
Sure.
Generally speaking, what happens, the best decision for a couple is that, you know, one of the spouses continues owning the business. So there's ways to structure that so they can buy out their share if they have a share, or, you know, give them part of. You can do, if you don't have the cash proceeds to do it, you can set up some sort of loan or, you know, payback in place as well. But there are tax consequences to that, potentially, the way it's structured. So you would want to also work with a CPA to make sure that and your attorneys to make sure that your, or a CDFA, really, to make sure that you're doing what's most equitable and getting the best for both spouses in that situation.
Well, and, you know, and I know you're going to get into this a little bit more, but sometimes, you know, you think of it, they say, oh, you know, I don't know, I'm making up a number here, business is worth $1 million, you know, whatever, and I got assets here and I got assets there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of times the house will go to the spouse and, mm-hmm. you know, and then however you divide the assets up, all of a sudden, yeah, it's equal in terms of value.
Right.
But one ends up with more cash flow
right.
than the other.
Right.
And that's where things get a little iffy. And this is not a dig at attorneys, but they're not. Generally, they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not to say that they can't be.
Sure.
Some of them can, but, you know, they're busy trying to handle the legal aspects of the divorce
sure.
and that type of thing. So having, you know, a second set of eyes take a look at this that might look at it from a finance point of view, not even a tax point of view.
Right. You're absolutely correct, because cash flow is going to be important, especially if a spouse ends up with a house that they can't afford right. in terms of maintaining it, and they don't have the cash flow to do so
right.
because they just got the house as an asset or maybe some other small asset.
Yes.
So some of the other things, if you just want to get a little more technical, Bill, I know you love the technical side of me.
I do.
So here we go. Hang on to
staff,
your seat.
Bring a pillow. Where's my pillow? Give me a pillow.
So,
go ahead.
If you ever can't sleep at night. No.
Put my feet up. Go ahead.
Tune to this. Yeah. The snoring actually adds to.
You
the,
like that?
Yeah.
You like
no,
that? I didn't even hit a button. I just did that all on my own.
Oh, you did?
I'm a trained professional.
You are. No doubt. Bill, you talk about cash flow. So when you're trying to determine the value of a business, one of the things you try to do is forecast the cash flow into the future. And
this lesson you're giving right here doesn't just apply to individuals.
It does not.
This is how we somewhat look at the individual stocks we buy.
It is, okay. Yes. Whether it be public or
all
private.
All right, I'm awake now.
Private companies.
I'm awake now.
All right.
I'm getting out my pen.
So we look at, it's called an income-based valuation, in
right.
case anybody ever asked you. You have that
another
little
piece of
nugget in the back of your brain.
There
you go. Anyway, you figure out what you believe the cash flows in the future could be.
Yeah.
And then you bring them back to present value using some sort of a discount. Most of the time, that discount is the cost of capital to that business. So there's several aspects of cost of capital. Most small businesses just use debt. They'll borrow from the bank, and that's the way that they fund their operations.
So is that what you discount back at? Is what
well, it is the cost of capital, but it's the cost of not only the borrowing or the debt, It's also the cost of equity capital. Now, cost of equity capital is the very difficult piece to get. Yeah, you're gonna. This is a guarantee.
You had me there for a minute.
The one time in
cost
finance
of equity capital
that I can guarantee is you will sleep through this.
Okay.
Anyway, so what goes on with equity capital? Obviously, it's something that dates back to the capital asset pricing model. Let's bring it forward to today. Yeah, okay. So what it basically does is uses the market-based return.
Yep.
Most of the time we assume it's like a 5.5% per year.
Okay.
That's the market risk premium. And then the risk-free rate, which is basically 20-year treasury. Although we just talked about the 10-year being at 2.4, we usually use around 3.5%. So 3.5 plus 5.5 is about 9%.
Right.
For equity capital, and that's where we start. And then you make adjustments.
So you discount back both two different tranches? So you got cost of capital, borrowing, and then you got the equity.
For the full value of the firm,
right.
It's all the cash flows divided by the weighted average cost of capital, which is the weight of the debt times the cost of the debt plus the weight of the equity times the cost of the equity. So
that's why people pay you a lot of money.
So they don't have to sleep through this?
Right, yeah. So they don't have to do it themselves because, you know, I don't want to eat a bullet. I'm actually thinking about it right now, to be honest.
Well, I'll end soon, so just before you do that,
okay.
There will be no loud noises on this show.
Right.
Anyway, so what we do then is you make adjustments for size of the business, the industry they're in, and various other things. And then there's this one special thing that is so subjective that it's very difficult to even explain. It's basically the business itself. So if you go in to look at a small business, and you find that the business runs itself like the piggy bank for the owners,
right.
You know, where the owner is, you know, driving the company Maserati.
Yeah.
And
what's the problem with that?
Well, nothing.
Keep telling me I need one.
It's legal. Perfectly legal. I mean, tax man will let you do it. But when you're talking about the business valuation, you might want, Bill, I know in one of your stories
you back those out,
reference
right?
the Ford Fairmont. You'd rather... If you're buying the business, you assume that they have a Ford Fairmont for the company car, not
right.
so much the Maserati.
Well, I think I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean
well,
to
it's fine. But it's basically what it is the actions of management. A very
right.
profitable company is going to get you a lower discount, a higher valuation.
Right.
You know, companies that do these things that are hard to justify, I guess is the best way to say, you know, you can get different valuations when you do that.
Timing here matters. So obviously sometimes divorce comes on sudden,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a lot of emotions that go into what's going on, which is somewhat why you want to have third-party advisors that are unemotional about things.
Right.
Because you're going to be angry enough about what's going on.
Yeah, you're not really going to be thinking, what is my situation
right.
going to be 10 years
and
from
depending
now?
Depending upon... type of attorney you're using, you know, they can either stoke those fires or try to drown them out. You know, there's litigating kind and then there's the mediating kind, and you know, I'm not picking on anything, it's just the way it is. So being able to have somebody on your side sit there and do the fun calculation you just described,
right.
and then have an intelligent conversation about
how do we
right
mm-hmm.
Is important. Now let's juxtapose that, big word, to you're going to sell your business.
Right.
All right. Well, you have time to actually clean up those financials.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I wouldn't be, hey, I'm going to sell my business and still have a Maserati on the,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
This is why you might want to actually come seek advice about how to get your financials in order so that you can
sure.
maximize the sale price of that business.
Right. Sure. And generally, when you're dealing with a tax professional, they're going to try to get your business to look like it would pay the least tax possible, right?
Absolutely.
And that is a conflict when you're talking about the value of your business quite often. So
right.
prepping that business for sale is a much different situation.
All right, we're going to stop here for a quick break. Got to pay some bills. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.